208 here on WGN. Anna DeVellantis here with you. One of the things we talked about yesterday, we talk about a lot because it's happening a lot, is expressway shootings in the city and the general area, I guess you could say. But if you just look at the increase in expressway shootings, they say in 2019 there were 52, so one a week. 2020, that more than doubled to 128 expressway shootings. And there weren't even that many people on the roads, if you think about 2020, right? 2021, we're already at 159 or so, and it's only August. So what's driving this? What's behind it? Sergeant Pete Kokonis joining the show. He often does on issues of police and crime and brings us his perspective. Hey, Sergeant Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
All right. So what do you make of it when you hear this? We heard a lot of theories from our listeners yesterday, and we talked about this a bit yesterday, about what's going on here. What do you think exactly is going on here?
Well, first and foremost, it's the Illinois State Police have the highways, all except Lakeshore Drive. So there's not as large a presence of police on the expressways. Number two, it's easier for gangs to follow somebody that they're looking for, get them on the expressway, fire the shots, and then get off at the next available exit or two down at 55 or 65 or 80 miles an hour. It's awful hard to corral them or capture them. So the adding of cameras that will give license plate readings and stuff like that, that works out great, because even though they can't respond immediately, and the shot spotters wouldn't help on the expressway, you're still going to be able to look at tapes and find evidence of the shooting, who did it and why it was done. And, it takes out road rage. I mean, that's always, crazy people will always start shooting at you or cutting you if you cut them off or something. So you have road rage and then you have targeted shootings.
Anyone who's ever been on an expressway around the time when one of these happens knows how arduous these investigations are. I mean, you see the police out there counting, looking for the shell casings. It's a very lengthy, difficult process because these crime scenes often stem across multiple, a mile or maybe even more. Talk about how the police respond to these kinds of things and why it's so difficult. Because I think the other thing that is often pointed to is, we don't solve a lot of these. The police don't solve a lot of these crimes. And so you're not getting the guys and the women who are doing it.
No, because they're usually, it's hit and miss. They're gone. I mean, they're gone. And usually I would say that they're using stolen cars or cars that were carjacked. So it's not, you trace the car and you're not going to have the actual shooter. I mean, so basically you're going to have somebody that's riding along in an unmarked car or something, and the shooting happens right in front of them, and then they'll be able to chase, to pursue them. And again, it's the troopers, the Illinois State Police, not the Chicago police, although they would respond too if a trooper called for help.
Which is why we don't include these in the stats every weekend, Monday morning when we say, hey, there are this many shootings. The expressway shootings, my understanding, are separated out because they're state police, not city.
Right. It's, it's all about numbers then.
Mm-hmm. Got a question on the text line here. 847 says, if they're using cameras and you say they look for an easy exit, then why not place the cameras at every single exit ramp? Is that a good idea?
No, because they're pulling off the exit ramp, you want to get them on camera when they're doing the shooting. And that way you'll see the interaction between the two cars that are shooting each other. Just because they fly up the ramp, you're not going to know which car was in the shot. People will fly up that ramp just to get away from people that are shooting at people on the expressway.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying that the people who are doing these feel as if it's easier to get away if it happens on an expressway. That's a better place to do this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're not going to have a lot of shootings in cul-de-sacs because there's no way. There's only one way in and one way out. But on the expressway, you could go a mile in a minute and be gone, be lost in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it's it's impossible to have somebody respond that quick to that individual situation.
$12.5 million state police just received for these cameras you talked about, license plate readers. Along with the cameras, the installations include a system, and they send information to police and authorities about to a central location, I guess I should say, where with additional software, it can be checked against license plate and vehicle databases, tell you right away if it's a stolen vehicle, where what the vehicle's history is, that kind of thing. All in all, do you think this is a good idea, or do you just think it'll be somewhat of a good tool? What would be your take?
Well, of course, I think it's a good tool, but now you're going to have to get some IT guy to figure out how you're going to get that information from the state, you know, from the camera on the expressway to the policemen in the local areas around there, so that they'll know that license plate XXXXXX just fired at somebody on expressway and took off at Independence Boulevard and went south. So you're going to have to coordinate computers and alerts into the city police computers. You know, I don't know how hard that's going to be. I don't know how quick it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Getting a lot on the text line about, aren't most of the cars involved in expressway shootings stolen? It's a point you've made. Then they dump the cars. So how does this all help?
Well, sometimes they don't dump all the cars. And if they do, you can see, you can maybe get a picture of the offender. You know, when they give you a ticket for running, for speeding, they take a picture of your car and it shows a picture of you. I mean, nothing is going to be perfect, but it's got to be have some value to stop this carnage that's going on the expressways. 158 from 52 to 128 to 159. I mean, it's growing exponentially, and it's not working.
Right, I'll say. And I think that the number of them solved, you know, there was an article in the Tribune recently about some of the people whose family members have been shot, and they were frustrated that so many of them have gone unsolved. What do you make of that?
Well, it's hard. Listen, 3 years ago, I got shot at on the Stevenson. And when a trooper pulled up, the first thing he said to me, he said, you're a former policeman? I said, yeah. And he says, don't have law enforcement plates. Don't have FOP stickers. Don't have any of that on your car because it makes you a target. So, you know, it's that one thing because you have a law enforcement plate or an FOP sticker or we support the police bumper sticker. Is that drawing shots at you? Or is it just, you know, road rage? Or is it that this gang is going after somebody and it's much easier to follow them as they go to the expressway? Because then, boom, they can get away.
You just mentioned you were targeted because of your plates, as you point out.
Right, I don't have that plate anymore.
No, I'm sure you don't. Pretty sad that that's the situation, for sure. Who knows why people would do that? But 847 asks a very good question. We hear all the time about these shootings, but we never hear, or we rarely, I would say, hear the follow-up. Are they targeted or are they random? Are they mostly involving folks who are trying to get at each other anyway? Or are some of these seemingly random to you? Do you have a feeling on that?
I would say the majority of them, they're targeted people. I would say the lesser majority would be for people that are just a victim of somebody staring at them and they just don't like it, or somebody cuts somebody off, or, you know, to that matter. These are pretty well targeted because they're there, their guns are loaded, and they're pulling up right next to you and unloading.
Are the cameras useful? I don't know this technology well. Are they useful in just getting plates, or do they actually get video of folks in the car? Would they be able to get that kind of data to the police as well?
You know, it depends on where the picture is taken. If the picture is taken as they're coming towards the next camera, it could be effective, but most of the time, those plate readers, they read hundreds of plates, you know, almost instantaneously. So you're getting feedback almost instantaneously on stolen cars and cars that have been boosted and plates that have been switched on cars. I mean, there's so many ways to, you know, you steal a Jeep and you put a plate on there that's not hot. So when the plate reader reads it, doesn't see it's a hot car, but then it might identify it as a car different than what belongs to that plate.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about expressway shootings. Sergeant Pete Kokonis, 38 years, a Chicago police officer. Your thoughts, 312-981-7200. Your questions as well. We're getting a lot of those on the text line. Questions about what is happening with crime. We're going to pause for just a moment. On the other side, Sergeant Pete, I want to ask you about the ShotSpotter technology now under attack because you saw the Inspector General's report, a number of reasons why they don't like these ShotSpotters out there in the neighborhoods, the gunshot detecting systems. We'll talk about that in a second here with Sergeant Pete. Coming up on WGN. We're talking about expressway shootings. Why are there so many of them? What the heck is going on? With Sergeant Pete Kokonis, Kathy has a story you want to share with us, don't you, Kathy? Thanks for calling in.
Oh, hi. A business associate of my husband was traveling in the state of Virginia on one of the major expressways with his wife, who was the passenger, and they were shot at from the driver's side. The bullet went through the window and hit his wife in the face and killed her. The police told him that the gangs, as part of their initiation into the gang, they have to shoot a random person.
Oh, my God. I had not heard that before, and they said that there was no other intended target there. It didn't seem like someone else was driving by or anything like that.
No.
Oh, Kathy, I'm so sorry about your friend. I mean, my God, that's...
I know, it's tragic. It's tragic, but that's what the police told them.
How long ago was that?
That is just horrible. This was a year ago.
Oh, Kathy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to hear that. That is, you got to think about all of the people behind these shootings at a moment like this. You see 159 shootings, and you think about all the instances behind them, just like that. Sergeant Pete, I guess, I don't know, had you heard about what the officers mentioned to Kathy before, that this was something that was random on purpose?
They told the husband that it was a part of the gang initiation. They see it all the time.
I've heard that it's an initiation, but I've never, I don't personally, I don't have any knowledge of any gangs here that use that as an initiation. I think maybe kids will go out there and shoot somebody and then go to the gang and say, hey, I just shot this guy and, you know, I want to be part of your gang. But that doesn't seem like it'll happen a lot.
Yeah. It's sad that it happened at all, I'll tell you that. Hey, Sergeant Pete, before we run out of time here, too, I want to ask you about the ShotSpotter technology. You saw that the reports have come out, and Steve Bertrand had a very nice conversation, a very interesting conversation with one of the women at the MacArthur Center, the Justice Center at Northwestern. She is in favor of them getting rid of the ShotSpotters. I think some of the reasons she raised were they're expensive. They rarely result in evidence of gun crimes after police do respond to the team or to the scene and may increase the intensity of officer response. I think we have a soundbite from her, what she said about that, that when police arrive, knowing that they're or believing that shots had been fired in the area, they intensify their reaction, was her take here.
I think the problem is we can't govern and we can't use law enforcement that's based on anecdote. I don't know what officers believe on the ground, but we know what the officers' own data says, and that's what's much more the important metric here, which is how many ShotSpotter alerts are actually leading to a gun-related crime that Chicago police officers report. It's based on CPD's own reports, and the answer is 9 out of 10, no gun crime. So it's hard for me to believe they do think it's accurate when they're not filing reports based on found gun crime.
Let's get cut two here, too, Andrew. I want to throw that in because this is the other point she raised.
The analysis found that of 50,176 alerts it viewed, only 9.1% turned up evidence of a gun crime. So that's 5,000 events where they were alerted to a gunfire. Is there benefit at least in that 5,000 times they were alerted to gunshots in the city?
I don't think so. And I think the OIG addressed that also when questioning about ShotSpotters, what they called relative costs and benefits. Because while there might be some findings of gunfire and accuracy, it's no more accurate than people who actually call 911 when they hear gunshots. And the harms are immense. People who are living in ShotSpotter neighborhoods, which we know are mostly on the west and south sides, mostly black and brown residents of Chicago, become targets of really armed, aggressive police raids in response to these alerts, and they're subject to a lot of pretty brutal police action, stop and frisk,
Before we run out of time here, I want to get Sergeant Pete's reaction to what you heard there. Those are some of the arguments being used against these shot spotters. What do you think?
All right, number one, tell that to the mother of the baby that Ella French saved by rushing her to the hospital at a shot spotter response. Number two, you call 911, it takes 4 to 5 minutes for a squad car to respond to a scene. Shot spotter, it cuts the time down to 2 to 3 minutes. Number three, people that fire guns standing and shooting out of the sunroof or out of the car, a lot of the shells fly inside the car. Number three, just because you hear shots and the shot spotter alerts you, and somebody fired one shot, or they used a revolver, or they used a single-shot rifle, or they used something that doesn't expend a shell, it's not going to do you any good. And the shot spotter gives you a general location. It doesn't give you the exact longitude, latitude where that shot was fired. So, yeah, like your newsman made a great point, 5,000 people were shot. You have policemen that are responding to calls with their medikits that they're saving lives. You should get the police should give the statistics on the number of lives that the copper saved by applying tourniquets and the powder that stopped the people from bleeding. So, you know, this woman saying, oh, it's, but you know, 4 to 5, 1 or 2, 1 minute of response can save a life. 30 seconds if somebody is right around the corner can save a life. But people calling 911, and then it goes through the operator, then it has to go to the dispatcher, and then goes to your computer or to the all call, it wastes time. Mm-hmm. So $33 million, if $33 million with Ella French saved that little baby's life, it was worth the $33 million. ShotSpotter also, unfortunately, the two policemen that you're aware of that got hit by the train and died, it proved that there was a guy there that was firing a gun that he had found, and yet they did nothing to him, and two policemen lost their lives. So these great thinkers and great minds and people much more intelligent than I am, come up with these statistics that say this, this, and this. You have 5,000 incidents where people are shot at, and ShotSpotter directs you to that, and you save a few lives. It's well worth the money. Mm-hmm. You're not going to put ShotSpotter in Wilmette where they don't have people getting shot, or Kenilworth. You're going to put ShotSpotter in Inglewood on the south and the west sides where most of the shootings are. And God help it if you don't have people there to respond to save lives. You know, a policeman is there to save a life, protect property, protect life. So if you take all the tools away from these policemen, you don't have enough policemen out there. If you're down 1,500 policemen, ShotSpotter is another tool that takes the place of two or three policemen that would be able to hear that call.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned smart people come up with the data, and I'm sure many of them have very good intentions trying to manage this kind of thing. But you have real-world experience, and that speaks for a ton, which is why I always appreciate getting your perspective. We got to leave it there because we got to get to the news, but to be continued. Thank you, Sergeant Pete.
You're welcome. Thank you.